Praise God for this great Lord's Day. It is indeed a privilege and a blessing to remember great God's love and to be called the redeemed people of God and remember the ransom which was paid, which we remembered in taking bread and the cup. And as we continue to study the word, if you could please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. And from verse 25 onwards to verse 36. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, and from verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations. With perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and in great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, knowing that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day cometh upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may always may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to study your precious word and your fellowship with thy saints. We pray for your blessing upon the word. Lord, have mercy upon me and help me, Lord, to divide the word. To the help of thy Holy Spirit, to thy strength, I commit myself and ask the blessing upon every soul which hear thy word. Blessing upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the verse I would like to emphasize is verse 28 from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, your redemption draweth near. The title of the message I'd like to emphasize is Your Redemption Draweth Near. It's interesting how the worship word was also aligned to on the word look up. And Brother Joel was reminding us to look up on a heavenly vision, we are heavenly partakers. And as Abraham looked at the city of which the foundation was God and the builder and maker is God, and we look, as Brother was reminding us. So here we see when these things begin. When you look at when these things begin, the context, this verse was spoken by our Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus was on Mount of Olives when the disciples asked him what it shall be the end times. And the Lord took sufficient time among there were two chapters written in Matthew's Gospel 24-25 we could read. The Lord has given us sufficient chronology of the end times. And as you begin to read in Matthew 24, you see the things happening right now in the world. We see already many have come as false prophets. Many will come in my name. We've already seen in 100 years the rumors of wars, many wars. We have already had two world wars in just last 100 years. We see the earthquakes and pestilence increases. If you look at the data of the earthquakes in the last 100 years, if you just go and put on the Google, and not now, later, and if you see the frequency of earthquakes, it's about 265% more last 100 years. And if you just see last 10 years, you have a graph there which is just shooting up various parts of the world. There will be various earthquakes, pestilence, diseases. Yes, the COVID has changed our lives. We would never think the world will be the same. And the Lord reminded that the sin will abound, the love for many will wax cold. And one thing the Lord has told at the end times, the gospel will reach to the ends of the world. One thing, good thing about the technology is today the gospel has reached the ends of the world, even to North Korea, even through various mediums, even to the Middle East. The gospel has been reaching through dreams and visions. Then the Lord reminds here of the very last things, events taking place in the last 7 years, the last 3.5 years' time, after the close to the tribulation, when there'll be changes in the sun, as we read the verse 25, the sun, moon, and the stars, there'll be changes in them as well. The earth and heaven will be shaken, moved, and we see that the Lord is telling that the great tribulation is coming upon the earth. But for us, brothers and sisters, as we look around, as we look at these things beginning, the Lord knew even then in verse 26, many of the hearts will be failing of fear for looking after those things. But what is the Lord reminding me and you this morning is verse 28. When these things begin to happen, when these things which the Lord has spoken has given us the signs of the end times, when these things begin, verse 28, again the verse which the brother reminded, we need to look up. Raise your heads. Look up. And what are we looking at? We are looking at my redemption, your redemption is near. My freedom, my redemption is coming near. We are going home. We are going to that heavenly city. We've been called to heaven. We look up to the holy calling, the heavenly calling, and we prepare. And yes, it is distressing. Yes, it is heartbreaking. It is troubling times when we look at the television, the media, at what's happening. But one thing we need to understand, the signs and the time we are living in. Here we read about a fig tree. In verse, a parable used in even in Matthew 24, you read, as the fig tree, you see it shoot up the leaves, tender leaves. In 2 days' time, we're having spring. We're heading to the spring. We see the beautiful weather coming up. Spring is the best time. And one of the best times of the spring is you see the flower blossoming. You see the trees prosperous. And when you look at the fig tree, what is a fig tree? The fig tree reminds of nation of Israel. The fig tree always is a sign of nation of Israel. Nation of Israel, 70 years ago, May 14, 1948, has been formed. 1967, a 6 days war. The nation has been bought back. Today, the nation of Israel is the prosperous nation. Just under 10 million. We see the technology, we see the greenery, we look at the Iron Dome, which protects them time after time when the bombs are being fled towards the nation. We see the wisdom, the prosperity. We see there are flourishing, prosperous country right now. We also see the nations surrounding the nation of Israel. We see nations like Iran, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Palestine. Now we may be looking at Taliban. Bible does not speak about Afghanistan or Pakistan, but Bible does speak about Russia, the Gog and Magog. Yes, everything is getting aligned. Taliban may also get a momentum where Russia will play a major role in getting, we see the first time we hear Russia, Iran, and China having a military exercise happening. So when we are looking at these things, brothers and sisters, it is not time for us to be troubled or distressed. The Lord is asking us to raise our heads, to look up, that your redemption and my redemption is coming near. It is great to see the children worshiping the Lord and with the full revelation of knowing. And many of the children use the word redemption. Redemption. I've been redeemed. And it is great to understand. But when we speak about, when we use this word redemption, what does redemption mean? You know, we use this very often. We call our church a redeemed church, community church. What does redeemed mean? Well, if you look at Leviticus chapter 25, if you turn to Leviticus chapter 25, there were times where people were such in so much poverty that they sold themselves for the debt. They became a slave and they had to sell themselves. And God gave certain laws in times of Israel, in times of Exodus, that how one should treat a slave. There was a time called Year of Jubilee, a 50th year, where every slave should be set free. But a slave can be set also free when a close relative or next kin or a brother or sister or a countryman, we read in, this is written in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 47 to 55. We don't have time to read all the verses, but you can read it later. But it gives us a concept where a person who becomes rich of a family who has able to redeem them can pay a ransom to set that slave free from the bondage, slave free from the slavery. A price has to be paid to set the slave free. We read that in verse 54 and 55 of chapter Leviticus 25, it says, "And if he is not redeemed in these years, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, both he and his children and with him. For unto me the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord, their God." Here the Lord speaks about redemption of a slave. We see it in the television as Brother was reminding us how Afghan people are catching a plane to have freedom. They believe that going to out of Afghan may get them freedom to them and their family. People are looking for freedom. There was a time the nation of Israel cried out for God's mercy. Their whole nation were under bondage of slave. We do know in times of Exodus before Moses, about 400 years, they were just making bricks. They were under torture and pain and agony. In Exodus chapter 2 and 23 and 24, we read that the Lord heard the cry of his people. The Lord had mercy on their cry. We see the Lord had respect on them. He was concerned about them. The Lord delivered them, gave them freedom. We read in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 3, it says that Egypt was paid as a ransom for the redemption of Israel. Egypt was judged. The wrath of God was poured on Egypt. God showed the power and glory. When we speak about the word redemption, redemption means being buying back, being purchased back, a slave being set free for the freedom, and the ransom has been paid. This morning, as I was just taking, we were taking part in the bread and the cup, the Lord was reminding to our hearts, what was the price was paid for my deliverance? What was the cost was paid for my freedom? It was a heavy cost. It was the life of my Savior, Jesus Christ. If we turn into Romans chapter 3, please turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 and verse 24. We all know this verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have been justified freely. We can only understand this word redemption when I and you understand what was my state without Christ. I had no power to overcome my sin. I had no power to overcome my bondage. The sin was like a bondage for all of us. God has delivered us from sin. He has justified us freely. In the sight of God, you're not guilty, but we have been justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says that we have been received the forgiveness of sins. We turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. As we learned in Old Testament times, for the redemption, a ransom has to be paid. In Old Testament times, for the forgiveness, an innocent animal, a lamb, blood has to be shed. In Hebrews 9:22, we see, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have been forgiven. We've been set free. And Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It is a curse to dry on a tree. Who will take my place? Who will take my curse? Jesus did for you and for me. One day we will understand the depth of this word redemption. Today, we most of us pray, there are many people in hospitals who are not able to breathe. Today, I and you able to breathe without a ventilator. One day we'll understand, we'll look at those souls which perished in hell because they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the offer which was made. And we will sing that song, Salvation and Hallelujah, which we'll also look in Revelation chapter 19 and Revelation chapter 5. Romans 9:15 says, Christ died, gave us as a ransom for an inheritance, eternal inheritance. As we come to Romans chapter 8, return with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 23, we see that the not only they ourselves, which are the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption to the redemption of our body. To the redemption of our body. Brothers and sisters, we are looking at the promises of God. God has given us our promises of one day that we will be in a place where there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sickness. But the thought I'd like to bring this morning is, though we read about these promises, this redemption is my future and your future. We have a taste of it. We have a glimpse of it. We experience the love of God in our hearts. We experience the everyday battle which we can overcome by the power of Christ. But one day, we shall have that perfection. The Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him. We read in the words in Revelation, the brother was showing a place where we will be with the Lord, where we'll be with the 24 elders worshiping the Lord. We will have a glorious body. When the Lord reminded us in Luke's Gospel 21:28, when these things are happening, look up, raise your heads. Your redemption is near. This is my future and your future, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we will have freedom, what has been promised. This is yet to come. Yes, we have salvation, we have been saved. But on that day, when I meet with the Lord, that will be fully accomplished. In Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3 and verse 11, it says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. There is something in us and in you that we understand we do not belong here. This world is perishing, physically deteriorating, in bondage and sin. Spiritually, we do not belong here. We do know that we have an eternal home to go to. As we, when reading Romans 8:18 to verse 23, Paul was bringing the thought that present suffering is not compared, is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. We read in verse 21 to 23, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, that the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. The whole creation groaneth for a future glory, a place where we shall be with the Lord. That the promise which the Lord has given us, that this corruptible will be put on incorruptible, the glorious body, one day will be caught up with the Lord in the air. That promises which is coming, my redemption and your redemption, is very near. And Paul preached to the church what shall happen to the church very next. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 14, if you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 14, we read that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For with this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Here we see the promise for a church being caught up in the air. At the time when the Lord comes back, the next coming, when Jesus said in John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 1 to 3, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you, I will come back. Where I am, there you may be also. Here we see the early churches all preached, the saints preached about rapture. Rapture is not the second coming. We clearly read here the Lord comes in the mid of the air, and we who are alive will be changed. The dead in Christ shall raise first. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51 to 53 that I tell you this is a mystery. This is a mystery. We shall be changed. We shall be transformed. The dead in Christ shall raise. We shall have a glorious body, a heavenly body. The second coming of the Lord, which is after the 7 years of tribulation, which is clear that we see in Zechariah chapter 14, the Lord shall come down to the Mount of Olives. We saw in Luke's Gospel 21 and Matthew's Gospel, the Lord shall come with power and glory. Every eye shall see. It will be like east is to the west as the lightning shines, that his coming will be with the power and glory. But the very next event, which could happen any moment, any time, as we speak, is the church being taken up, the church being with the Lord. And the Lord is telling us, when these things begin to happen, look up, your redemption is very near. We may believe this may happen before 7 years of tribulation. We may believe it may happen at middle of 3.5 years, or even later. Bible does not say, the Lord said, no one knows. Even the angels does not know, except my Father. But the Lord is asking me and you to be ready as if today, as if tonight, that we look, continue to look up and be ready and be watchful. Even as we read Luke's Gospel chapter 21, the Lord gives about this, that we may pray. As we turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 21, our portion for today, and as we read verse 36, it said, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray that we may be escaped the trial, the tribulation. The Lord is encouraging us to pray. Be in prayer and watchful. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, we read that God has not appointed us to wrath. When we look at in Old Testament times, when the judgment was coming upon the earth in times of Noah and the eight in his family were taken out to the ark. When we looked at Lot, when the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the wrath was about to be poured, Lot was taken out. We can only pray as the Lord increases, that we can watch and therefore pray always, that they may be counted worthy to escape all these things. Brothers and sisters, let's look up to our heavenly calling. Let's look up to the city, which is builder and maker is our God. Let's look up to our eternal home. Let's look up to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is my Redeemer, my kinsman Redeemer, your kinsman Redeemer, who have redeemed us. How do we know, brothers and sisters, we have been redeemed? Bible says that we are being given a token of promise. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, in whom you also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, he was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. When we buy a home here, we put a deposit, a token. And we have a settlement date set after a few days. That property, that land, the house belongs to you. The word of God reminds the day you believe the gospel of your salvation, the truth. The Bible says there is a transaction. We are forgiven. We see the Spirit of God has been sealed in our hearts. The Spirit of God is an authentication, like in a guarantee. We read that this has been given until our redemption. Until our redemption, the Spirit of God, which is transforming my life, your life, which is revealing things of God, which is preparing us. It is the help of the Spirit of God. Praise God for the Spirit of God. As the Lord said, I will send you a comforter. He will teach you of me. And indeed, we have been privileged to experience the Lord living in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, it says that he has set his seal of ownership on us. He has put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is a token, a guarantee, a deposit paid. As in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, it reminds us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4 and verse 13, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We were blessed reading from Hebrews chapter 3, where the people of God, where the chosen people of Israel, they failed to acknowledge due to unbelief, they grieved God. They were hard in their hearts. They were not responsive to the God's voice. The Lord reminds us, the Holy Spirit, which is being sealed, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us heed to the voice of God. Let God be grow more of His Spirit and less of me. As we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Word of God says it is the same Spirit which Jesus was raised from the dead. I and you have the power of resurrection living in us. It is the same Spirit which will raise us on that day, and the day of resurrection, and the coming of the Lord. The question I and you need to ask, brothers and sisters, is, do you have Christ in your heart? Do you have the assurance of salvation? As we look at these verses, all that the Lord has written is coming to pass. God has made us a provision through His Son. It is the desire of the Father that He loved the world, that He sent His only begotten Son, that none should perish, none should go to hell. It is a choice, it's a free will of God. Free will the Lord has given us to choose Him. If there's anyone here, even this afternoon, who's hearing the good news, is Jesus can set you free. You may be a little child, young and old, if you've been hearing, coming to church, but you do not have the assurance of salvation. As the Word of God says, today be the day of your salvation. Cry out to the Jesus, come into my heart, and acknowledge that Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the life. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, without my Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is only through Jesus we have our redemption. We have our redemption. Jesus said to the children, I know my sheep. They hear my voice. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I share with you anytime as we've been with the Lord, and our future is written in Revelation chapter 19. You can see yourself for the redeemed people of God. As you read in Revelation 19, this is after the church being taken up. This is the duration during the tribulation time. I believe there is, in Revelation chapter 19, we see the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And you read in Revelation chapter 19 as we turn, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and people unto the Lord our God. And you read in verse 4, you see, and the 4 and 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His saints, all ye His servants, and he that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of the great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and with His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed with fine linen, clean and white, for the white fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. This event is our future. This is taking place in heaven, being after the church raptured, before the second coming of the Lord. We see the church. We see the multitude. Verse 6, ancestors, redeemed people of the God, this is us, the voice of the great multitude, both small and great, a voice of many waters, mighty thundering, singing hallelujah, the omnipotent reigneth. The song in verse 1 saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power unto the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5, when verse 9 says, they sung a song, a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and every tongue, the people of nation. All glory and honor belongs to one and only our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we have nothing in this life. He has redeemed us from the curse. He has redeemed us from sin. He has redeemed us from bondage. He has redeemed us from that hell which would all gone without Christ. But today I and you, I hope every day we are living, acknowledging that I was someone paid, Jesus paid a heavy ransom for me. We're not living a life of our own way. This is again, every child. It is not God is not asking us to, it is a volunteer. That's why Paul said, I am a servant of the Most High God. We are all servants of God. We've been purchased by God. We've been redeemed by God. As I close, as we come back to Luke's Gospel chapter 21, the Lord is reminding us, my redemption, your redemption is very near. Yes, as we read in Matthew's Gospel, the earthquakes, the wars are just the beginning. The Bible says there'll be terrible times to come. There'll be more dreadful times to come. The word used, the great tribulation, which we had, the world has never seen or never witnessed, those times are coming. And the Lord is reminding us to strengthen our faith, to watch, be watchful. As we come to Matthew's Gospel, please turn with me to a few more verses from Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, and I quickly finish with a few thoughts. Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 and verse 42 onwards, it says, watch therefore, ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him their meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him a ruler over all the goods. Now as we look up, as we look at this passage, the Lord is reminding us to be ready, to be watchful, to be in prayer. Ready, as we just looked down in chapter 25, Jesus gave a parable of preparedness to be ready, revealing a story of a parable of 10 virgins. The five wise virgins were ready, as we read in verse 6 of 25. At the midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out and meet him. For all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, ye know not what hour the Lord will come. It will be an unexpected time, the Lord says. It will be like a time the thief would come. And for us, in Thessalonians, Paul said, we are the children of light. They should not take away as if the children of darkness, we do not know. We know all these things. And we need to be watchful and be ready. It's like being ready at, you know, you're waiting for an airport and you're waiting for a flight. As I was thinking about Brother Calvin, who was with about a year waiting to come back home. There was time in this year, I remember last few months, he had packed his bags ready and waiting for a flight to be confirmed. Similar way, I and you need to be ready every single day, ready to go and look up for a heavenly calling, ready to join with the Lord, ready to our new home, being watchful, as the Lord reminds us, watching day after day, every day, perhaps today. We pray that may the Lord come today. And we may pray that we may wait patiently. The Lord may delay his coming, and we be patient for his coming. And as we finish, the Lord reminded in Luke 21:36, watch and pray. Verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, let us look up as the Lord reminded us this morning. Be prepared, be ready. Anything could happen as the Lord has promised. His redemption is near for us. And let us keep working. There's work to do as we are here. And let us be faithful. May the Lord bless his word. And let me close in prayer. Loving gracious Father, we thank you and praise you for speaking to our hearts and my heart. Lord, that thou art my Redeemer. And Lord, you're coming back for us to take us home. And Father, help us as a church to be ready, to be prepared, to be watchful, to be in prayer, to be steadfast. And Lord, at your coming, we may be find working, we may find faithful. And if there's anyone here, Lord, today who do not know you personally, we pray, Lord, that you may have mercy and pray, Lord, that you may speak to their hearts and hear their cry. And we commit ourselves to you. And we thank you for your promises and assurance. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.